thanks for checking out this message from Springmount Church.
For more information about us and what we do, visit our website, springmount.church.
Why not check out all the different groups that run throughout each week in Barrow and on Walney?
And join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. at Salthouse Pavilion in Barrow Infirmary.
If you would like us as a church to pray for you, please email prayer@springmount.church.
Or sign up on our website for monthly news straight to your inbox.
Welcome those of you who are new. There's a few new faces, there's a few old faces. I always like that joke. But there's also a few people who might be have come forever and a day and longer than me. But welcome, whoever you are. And I want to think, first of all, this morning about some statistics and facts. We've been looking at Proverbs, and today is the final part of our series on Proverbs. We haven't gone through the whole book. We've tried to look at some themes. And Proverbs is all about passing on wisdom. Now, Proverbs isn't promises, okay? It's probability. So in other words, if you follow the example, the probability is the outcome will be good. It doesn't mean definitely, but actually the probability is good. So we're going to think a little bit about statistics. Any fans of statistics in this morning? No? No? Tim is, yeah? The boring people. No, sorry, I didn't mean that. And facts. So wisdom isn't just facts, but I thought this morning if you didn't get anything else, you can go away with some new facts to amaze your friends. Or they might not be new facts, you might know them already. But actually, if you like a good fact that you can impress somebody with, then actually that's me passing something on to you. Yeah? Do you remember sitting in school? Well, those of you who are of an age will, because nowadays you don't probably have paper anymore. It's probably all on tablets. Moses used tablets, you know, but anyway, that's by the by. You'd sort of write something on a piece of paper and pass it round, folded up, yeah? Yeah? And if you got caught, it was like, might say, I love the teacher or something like that. But I was thinking about sending a note round this morning as I speak to see if I could catch somebody out, but I thought, no, it'll just distract you from anything. But, yeah, we pass notes around, we pass it on, pass it on. My dad actually cheated in his French French O-level. I'm outing him this morning. He tells the story himself, but basically he had to resit it, and the whole comprehension was based around one word that he didn't understand. And actually it's bâtiment, which means building. Yeah, it's not a difficult word, so he obviously shouldn't have passed his French GCSE. I should have come to you, Jeff, obviously, as a French expert. But bâtiment, and he didn't understand what that word meant, and so he sat next to a guy and went, psst, what's bâtiment? And the guy told him, so then he passed his recit. So if anyone's watching from the AQA or whatever board he did his French O-level with 5 million years ago, then he shouldn't have it. But anyway, sorry, Dad, but... Okay, so here's a few facts for you, okay? What percentage, here's a fact and a statistic, what percentage of British tea drinkers add milk to their tea? Have a think about it. Before we go, let's have a little bit of a straw poll. So who, put your hand up if you drink a lot of tea. Hands up high, okay? Hands down, oh no, keep it, it wasn't an instruction, yeah? Sue, you led everybody astray then. Hands down if you don't put milk in it. So you can see there's quite... So anyone, any idea? Hands down. What percentage of British tea drinkers put milk in their tea? Who higher? 98%. So actually, when you looked at our little poll there, most people did keep their hands up. So that's probably about right. So 98% of British tea drinkers. So next time you sat with somebody and you offer them a cup of tea, you can go, did you know... And you can be known as the boring friend. But anyway, I also love collective nouns. I love the names for collective nouns. So things like, you know, a murder of crows. And I think it's a parliament of peacocks. Or also, you can, I think peacocks have about three. Parliament of owls. I think it's also, the peacocks have got, I'm obsessed with peacocks. I don't like them, but that's by the by. But anyone know what a group of jellyfish is called? Look at you, Ian Salter. How do you know things like this? Ah! Yeah, I'm not actually using them. Ian, you cheated. You're like my dad. Not quite. Got more hair. So a group of jellyfish is called a smack of jellyfish. So again, Next time you see in the news there's been an invasion of jellyfish, you can go, do you know what a group of jellyfish is called? And everyone will go, yeah, you really are getting boring now. But who's a fan of vanilla ice cream? Some of you might know this fact. Hands up if you like vanilla ice cream. Come on, kids like vanilla ice cream? Do you know that most of the vanilla flavouring comes from the anal glands of a beaver? So next... Next time, am I being censored? Is it because I said glams? Next time you're sat down at the Cumbrian cow, you can say, do you know what makes this so tasty? And you can impress people. Last one, the wood frog. If you don't learn anything else today, at least these have been fun, hasn't it? Okay. The wood frog can hold its wee for 8 months. Now, there are some people of a certain age who are very jealous right now. Struggle for 8 hours, to be fair. And I'm getting to that age myself. Too much information. But pass it on. I bet you'll remember some of those things, won't you? Yeah, you'll certainly remember the vanilla ice cream one. You might never eat it again. But it tastes so good. Who knew? Anyway. Okay. But statistics and facts are good to pass on. But it's not wisdom. It's just information. And the book of Proverbs, as we've gone through it, has been about passing on wisdom to live life by. And it's not a promise, it's a probability. It's also not something that everybody is going to reach because we're going to let God down. Even the best Christian, David in the Bible, is described as a man after God's own heart, still let God down. So nobody in this room needs to feel, I can't do this because I'm not perfect. If you're a Christian and you've not been baptized, do it. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. You're just saying, I love Jesus. So far I've got a couple of people. It'd be great to have more. And you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. You know, if you're scared of water, we can come to another arrangement. We can just tip a bowl over your head or something like that. Anyway, some statistics to ponder, though, in terms of church is this. Did you know that church attendance right now in England is 85% of what it was before the pandemic? So 15% of people have left church, not just this, the church in the UK. 68% of churches in the UK have less than 100 members, and 31% of those churches have less than 50 people. Hands up if you're 70 today. Hands up if you're 70 or over 70. Come on. Don't be shy. I'd get you to stand up, but I know you're frail. Sorry. I'm really offending everybody today. I do apologise. In 2019, in the Church of England, less than 1% of the UK population attended church. Less than 1% of the UK population attended church. And a third of that people were over 70. Maybe it doesn't surprise us sometimes, but how sad is these? These aren't fun facts. And actually, I think sometimes the reason we see this is that wisdom isn't being passed on. You know, wisdom of God, the love of God, not just the truth, but the love and the grace of God is not being passed on. You know, we're keen to pass on a note round class that says, I love Stephen Pacey. I don't. But actually, we're not as keen to pass on, I love Jesus. And do you know what he does? He's amazing. We've sung, our God is an awesome God. And yet sometimes we make him look very ordinary. Joe, do you believe God is awesome? Well, let's not make him ordinary. What today, as we finish our little tour through themes in the Proverbs, I want to think about family and generations. In this room, there's generations of some families that are here. And actually, it's really important that we pass it on. When we do a dedication, we encourage the parents or the godparents or the grandparents to pass it on. And I want to say to you today, what did you learn from your parents or your grandparents or your foster carers or your adopted parents or your guardians or, if you're lucky, your great-grandparents? It might be simple things like, don't cross the road without looking. It might be, hold my hand in a busy area. It might be, don't upset your mum because you'll regret it. Fasten your seatbelt. Although people of a certain age, they didn't have seatbelts, so they often forget them themselves. It might be don't turn the light on in the back of the car when Dad's driving. It's illegal. Not true. Just distracting. My friend used to tell his kids that when the ice cream man plays his music, it means he's sold out. So, wisdom of a sort. But we're going to read. Let's read. Let's get onto the Bible. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 9 says this. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Whenever it says sons here, we can count daughters and we can count mothers and grandmothers. Listen, my sons. This is Solomon speaking to his children at the end of his days, if you like, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. We're just going to stop there a moment. I too was a son. So what's he doing? Psst, pass it on. Pass it on. What does he say? He says, listen, there's no guarantee you'll get it right. There is no guarantee that you will get it right. In fact, there's probably a guarantee that you will get some stuff wrong. And in some cases, in my case, a lot of stuff wrong. But it says, listen. If you listen to somebody who's been there and done it, you're more likely to succeed, yeah? If you listen to somebody who actually has taken the time to be involved in something, then they know the pitfalls ahead of you. Pay attention. Then you'll gain understanding. Don't forsake what your old man says. You know, don't think that you know it all. Don't think that you've got it sussed. Even if you're over 70 today, don't think you know it all. Even if you think you're young and you've got energy, don't think you know it all. Because actually, we're supposed to listen. And if you're an old man, then psst, pass on your wisdom. Encourage people. It's important here, as I say, to notice it's Solomon talking. And who does he say he's been shown wisdom by? His mum and his dad. Who were Solomon's mum and dad? David and Bathsheba. Were they the wisest people in the world? Were they people who acted all the time with integrity and authority? No. But what does Solomon say? I listened to them. I listened to them. I listened to the mistakes they've made. They admitted their mistakes to me and I listened to them. I listened to their wisdom and I followed them. You know, if you do not know their story today, well, they were far from perfect. And if you ever think anyone who stands at the front here is perfect, then you're far removed from reality. Because actually we're not. Our parents may be great, but they are far from perfect. I love my mum and dad to bits, but you know what? They've made mistakes. They've got it wrong. They've done things that they shouldn't have done. They're not perfect. And there are things that I will never know about them and how they've been. But I can still listen to them. And if they've been through stuff, I know they'll tell me. And I know that they'll be honest. If they point you to Jesus, then that's the best thing you can do to listen. If your mum and dad today are saying to you, do you know what? Follow Jesus. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Then listen. Listen. Because they're passing it on. They're passing it on, and it's something of such importance. If you do get baptized, that's what you're doing. You're saying, psst, pass it on. God's done this for me. And I want to tell you. And I want to show you. Pass it on. Verse 4 goes on to say this. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. We're going to stop there. What does he say here? He says to his son, take hold and keep. Take hold and keep. These words that he's saying here, literally translated, mean grip on, hold tight. You know, I'm just going to think, someone who, Tim, you come here, you'll be really uncomfortable if I do this. Tim's my friend, so I was thinking of people who might fight me if I do it. So if I get Tim and I give him a hug, look, he's not uncomfortable at all, he loves it, okay. Right, now try and get out. See, that's why I didn't choose somebody else. Sorry, Tim. No, I didn't look around for the weakest. It's all right. But the word hug literally means to hold tight. Don't let go. So it can't escape. Yeah? So listen to the things that are being said and hold tight to them. Listen and keep. Yeah? I'm going to let Tim go and sit down in a minute. I'm not going to keep hold of him for the rest of the service because that would make both of us feel very uncomfortable. And probably you. I can feel him pulling away now. Okay? But actually, listen and keep. Thank you, Tim. Sorry. Give him a clap. Make you feel good. Okay? Grip on and hold tight. Literally, that illustration should show us how important it is to listen. When our parents, when our families, when our husbands, our wives, our kids say, look to Jesus, then we need to grip on and keep hold. But we also need to be passing that on. We need to say, psst, pass it on. If you keep hold of him, he'll never let you go. He'll never let you go. Do you know, I remember going to Alton Towers with camp and myself, Roz and an adult leader were on the Oblivion ride, which its name suggests it's not the nicest ride, because you drop straight down into a big dark hole from quite high up, and they hold you there for a time, so you scream. They're not allowed to hold you there for very long now because all the neighbours complained of the noise of people screaming every 5 minutes. And I remember this big, burly leader sat on this ride, and as we went up the hill, he just turned to the lady next to him, who he didn't know, and he said, can I hold your hand, please? And he held her hand as tight as anything while he went down the Oblivion because he was scared. He had a grip on that. He had a grip. He was scared and he gripped and didn't let go till the very end. And he was scared and he kept hold. You know, when you're scared, we can keep hold of what God's got for us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because I can grip hold of him. I can grip hold. My friend's mum, he bought a scooter. I don't mean a mobility scooter. My friend bought a scooter. Let me get the story straight. And his mum decided she wanted to sit on it and rev it outside the front door. And believe it or not, she did and accidentally set it going. She went all the way through the front door, right down the hallway, through the kitchen at the back. And fortunately, the doors were open. And she went all the way through the house into the back garden before she had let go. And we were howling. She wasn't young, but you know what? She kept hold and endured. Didn't matter what she was going through, she went through it and she kept hold of the scooter. I would say that wasn't wise. Probably not wise to get on it in the first place. Not wisdom, but you know, the word here is to grip hold and don't let go. But it doesn't say just keep hold, it says, but keep hold with what? All your heart. Doesn't say keep hold with your mind, doesn't say keep hold with your hands and your physical body, doesn't say keep hold, it says keep hold with all your heart. This morning, some of you will be listening with your ears. Some of you probably have already gone to sleep. Some of you will be listening with your ears and you'll take some of it in, and sometimes we switch off. We don't want to pay full attention, do we? You know, empty the dishwasher. We don't want to listen to that one, do we sometimes? Tidy your room. We don't want to listen to that. So sometimes we listen with our ears, it goes in one end and out the other. But actually, listening can be switched off. But when we listen with our heart, that is different. You know, if you say to the children in your car, if you're ever on a journey, when we get to the end of this journey, you're going to get a really nice surprise. What are they going to do for the rest of the journey? They are going to be so excited. And you're probably going to wish you'd not told them that they were going to get a very nice surprise. Because they'll be so excited. That is listening with your heart. That's listening with your heart because you are thinking, yes. You've heard it with your ears, but you've taken it in here, and you're thinking, yes, I'm going to get a nice surprise. So you this morning might be listening with your ears, but you know what God says? Listen to my word with your heart. Be excited. Be excited about what I can do, not because I'm saying it, but because God has already said it. We're all ears because our heart is invested. Take hold with all your heart what is passed on to you by those that are wise. And then he goes on to say, keep the commands and live. Keep the commands. Again, the words there mean guard, protect. Protect the rules, guard the law, obey God's word. Solomon is going, psst, pass it on. If we follow God's word, we're going to have life. If we follow God's promises, we're going to have life. Do you know this morning, that is true today. And his promises that he will never forsake you, never leave you, and his promises that you can be forgiven of any past you've done. His promise is that he loves you, he loves you, he loves you unconditionally. And he asks us to be like him, if you're a Christian today, to love unconditionally. You know, rules can be seen as stifling to people, but they protect and keep safe. Here they say, you'll live, you'll live. In teaching, I saw the change when I was a primary school teacher from a parent being cross with a child because the school had got them into trouble, or because they'd got into trouble at school. The school hadn't got them into trouble, that's wrong. I went through the change of the parent being cross with the child if they'd been in trouble at school to the parent being cross with the school if the child had been in trouble. That's wrong. I'm really sorry. Yeah, sometimes school can get it wrong. But you know what? We need to sometimes recognize the wisdom of people who are with our children. Yes, we've got first responsibility. You know, I can remember when I was a parent of Joel when he was little. I'm still a parent of Joel. I've not disowned him. He's just in Iceland. I can remember going to the Wacky Warehouse and the number of people who wouldn't watch their kids as they were throwing the balls at everybody as they came down the ball pool or climbing up the outside of the slide. And I'd be thinking, if they fall, they're going to get... And I'd be thinking, everything in me wanted to say, oi, you, get down. But there's a fear, isn't there? It's not my child. But you know what? I was trying to pass on wisdom. Don't scorn people who try to bring wisdom, whether you're bringing it to an older person or a younger person. You know, you can develop the friendship. A lot of people today think parenting is about being best friends with the kids. It's not. It's about being a parent. It's about doing the things that pass on wisdom, pass on discipline, pass on the things that are going to set them in good stead, because by the time they get older, it'll be too late. And that's the same with each one of us today. We need to listen. We're not there to be their best friend. You know, you can develop a friendship as you go. I think my friendship with my kids now that they're in their 20s is pretty awesome. My kids, we get on really well. It's great. But when they were younger, the relationship's different. Be their parent. It shows that if I'm their dad till they get to adulthood and I need to show them respect and heart listening when it comes to God's wisdom, I need to say, psst, pass it on. The most important thing you can do, Joel and Chloe, is follow Jesus. And then it's in their hands. Then it's in their hands. As I say, it's not a promise. It's a probability. It says this in verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. I like that. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Did you hear that last bit? The beginning of it is to get it, but then it's going to cost. It's going to cost. You might have to make choices you don't like. You might have to go against the grain. You might have to not hang out with the wrong crowd. You might have to make choices that actually are really difficult. You might have to say no more, enough. You might have to do those things when we get wisdom. Well, get means to acquire. It's not just going to happen. Wisdom is not just going to hit you as you walk through life. And you say, well, it is, because you'll suddenly learn things if you listen carefully. But actually, you're challenged to get it. How do we get wisdom? Ask people who've been there. If I'm going to go skydiving, I'm not, I'm scared of heights. I'm going to speak to somebody who's done it. Who's done it not just once. I'm going to speak to somebody who's done it a lot. You know? That's why teachers sometimes... Oh, I won't know. I was going to get to stroppy about Ofsted inspections then. I won't get. It's all right. A lot of my lecturers at college when I did my teacher training were failed teachers. They'd struggled in the classroom. And so a lot of students struggled to respect them because they were like, well, you've not been able to do it. Why should I listen to you? But actually, they were still imparting wisdom. They were still imparting good things. Listen to somebody who's been there and done it. You know, you're not going to be zapped with the information you need. You have to seek it out and listen with your heart. Has anyone watched the programme Pilgrimage on the BBC? Yeah, it's about some celebrities who were going on different situations to explore faith and spirituality of different religions. But there was a clip that was on this week where one of the older guys, probably late 20s, early 30s, suddenly had this revelation that Jesus was a real man, that Jesus was historical. And he just said, I always thought it was just made up. Do you know what he's not been doing? He's not been seeking wisdom. He's not been looking for it. He's just assumed. And we know what assuming does, don't we? It means you presume something. Anyway, so proverbs aren't prophetic. They are probabilities. They show that when you follow the advice, then you have a better chance of succeeding. And being wise, not foolish, in making the right choice, not the wrong one. Those choices can be immense. Can be your partner in life. It can be the decisions you make just one night when you're out. It can be a decision you make in an instant that can change everything. Proverbs gives us wisdom to make the right choices, and we might still not. To get understanding, what does that mean? Well, to discern truth. To discern truth from what's false. You know, just because you've seen it in the paper or on the internet doesn't mean it's true. Just because you've heard somebody say it who might have doctored before them doesn't mean that's true. But actually, both sides of any argument can point to truth. The one thing they can't do is say that Jesus isn't the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is wisdom. How do we get wisdom? How do we get understanding? Psst, pass it on. From reading the Bible, which is written down for us. From people who've lived it, from people who've been there and done that. You know, I'm encouraged regularly by some people who've been in my position, who've been in my role, who take the time to send me messages. And do you know what? It makes a massive difference. It can make me feel like I'm walking on, you know, walking on air. When somebody who has been through what I've been through and what I do sends me something that's encouraging, do you know? It makes a difference. Makes a difference. Pass it on. The Bible, good role models. Parents, pass it on to your kids. Verses 8 and 9 to finish this passage, we're nearly there. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her. This is wisdom, it's not just some random girl. Okay? Cherish wisdom and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. There is a promise. But it's a promise if we prioritize. We need to prioritize wisdom and understanding. We need to prioritize listening with our hearts. We need to prioritize living a life out before others that shows God. We need to prioritize passing it on to our kids, passing it on to our grandkids, passing it on to our parents, passing it on to our partners, passing it on. We need to prioritize it because what are we putting in first otherwise? You know, Solomon, when he was asked by God what he wanted, said wisdom. He said wisdom. What did he do? Prioritized it. He made a mess of it after that. Made a total mess of it. Went off the rails, did all sorts of things. But you know what? God still loved him. He was still God's. He was still one of his. You know, he still wandered. He was distracted. What was he distracted by? He was distracted by stuff and people. Is that the same today? Solomon came to God and said, I need wisdom. And God said, you've got it. Book of James says, ask for wisdom. God says, you've got it. Get understanding. Don't be distracted by stuff and people. Fix your eyes on the one who is the author and perfecter of life. I look to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. That's the privilege we have today. Prioritize that, and the probability is that things will be better. Things will be better, not necessarily rosy, but eternity will be. Eternity will be. Solomon says, cherish wisdom. Though it might cost everything, wisdom and understanding might need to be prioritized. Do you know, Proverbs also says this about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11 says, for wisdom is more precious than rubies. Listen to this. And nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing. That's a promise, actually. That is a promise that nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. So what do we need to do? Get wisdom. Get understanding. And then what do we need to do? Psst. Pass it on. Pass it on. Share it. Don't keep it to yourself. Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. If you put God's wisdom and understanding first and pass it on in your family, then God will lift you up. He says he will exalt you. He will crown you. He will give you a garland of flowers. You'll smell great. You'll look beautiful. But not necessarily on the outside. You'll look beautiful on the inside. Because people will start to see that wisdom in action. People will start to see that understanding in action. If you put it first, embrace it, hold on to it like I held on to Tim. Hug it. You'll be honored. Keep it close. Don't please people, but please God. If we start going down the route of pleasing people, then do you know what? That's what Solomon did. That's not wisdom. That's not understanding. That will lead downwards, not upwards. Keep it close, and others will respect you, will listen to you, and will want to be near you. Crowds of people followed Jesus. Why? Because he was passing on wisdom and understanding. And his wisdom was this: I'm going to pay the price for you. Seems foolish, doesn't it? But it was the only way. The truth. I'm going to pay a price for you so that you can be saved, that you can be forgiven, that you can be loved. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Last thing I say about family is this. Says, start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. It's not a promise, it's a probability. Start children off on the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not turn from it. That's in their hands. But the important thing is, while you've got them, then you can do what your very best is to pass wisdom on. You know, I believe the children are our future. Teach them well. And let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Sorry, it's Whitney Houston. That wasn't Proverbs. She wasn't very wise at times either. How many of us realize the influence the world around us has on our children? Yeah? How many of us realize the influence the world around us has on us? Sometimes we're ignorant to it, aren't we? We think, God would change his mind these days. He wouldn't have that rule in place. All right, things have changed. Do you know, God says he's the same yesterday, today, forever. So how many of us realize the influence, yet we sit them in front of a whole world of choice on TV and internet and phones without monitoring the messages they're receiving, without giving thought to what they're listening to or what they're watching, what they're filling their heads with, what they're filling their mind with. And so often, other things become the teachers of us and our children. Wisdom says, come to me. Do you know, even Peppa Pig fat shames her daddy. He's always calling her dad fat. It's terrible. Let's campaign against Peppa Pig. She's not a pleasant child. In fact, she's a bit of a pig. But anyway. You know, the Teletubbies, they spill custard all over and then say, again, no, clean it up. Or they do, I suppose, with the Hoover, don't they? I am being daft, but we need to be the biggest influencers around. I want you to say today you're an influencer. I know Russell thinks he is with his Instagram posts and whatever. But I want you to be an influencer for Jesus. How do you do that? Just by saying it? No. By living it. By showing it, by listening with your heart, not just your head, by acting it out, not because it's an act and a made up, but because Jesus, his Holy Spirit, is living and working in you. The best influence we can give is to live God's way. That's what Proverbs is all about. Live God's way. Live God's way. And it's better than rubies. It's more desirable than anything else you can imagine. Do you know, you may think this morning, well, I've no children or no one to pass it on to. Everyone in this room, if you're a Christian this morning, is a child of God. We've all got people we can pass it on to. We've all got people who might be willing to listen. And today you can listen with your heart and not just your ears. Some of us have sadly chased other stuff. Well, today you can go back to seeking wisdom. Today you can come right back to the cross and say, God, I'm so sorry. Jesus, I want to pursue wisdom. You can start on the way you should go today. You can start to pass it on to others, but we need to be getting it for ourselves first. Can't pass it on to others if we haven't got it ourselves. Do you know, the disciples were like children, weren't they? Squabbling about who was best. wanting to sit in the best seats, saying stupid things, abandoning the friends in the most important moment, but ultimately they heard with their heart that Jesus was alive. And that made all the difference. They went from those squabbling, daft followers of Jesus, and they did not turn from the way they were meant to go, even to the point of death. They didn't turn from that way. So today, do you know, we don't face horror like they did. We don't face persecution of that sort. We might face other stuff. But today we can start in the way of wisdom and understanding. And if we do, do you know, there is a promise. He will embrace you. He will keep tight hold of you. He will never let you go. He will hold you and hold you and hold you, even if you try and wriggle away like Tim. He will hold on to you and keep you embraced and present us with a crown of glory. So statistically, as I finish today, we are in a minority of people trying to get wisdom by hearing his word. But don't just be a statistic. Pass it on and become part of his story and part of history. So are we pursuing wisdom and understanding? If not, why not? What do we need to change? Change it today. Let's pray. The band can come up. Thank you. Before we take communion, in a short time, we're going to pass the bread and the juice around. And the bread and the juice speaks of a promise that Jesus gave when he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you." And this morning, we welcome you to take that bread and that bitter juice. Why? To remember that God's wisdom was to send Jesus to a cross, but he didn't stay dead, because his wisdom was to see Jesus pay the price and have victory. This morning, he's paid the price for each of us, and he has victory. And he invites you and says, "Come, receive my victory. Receive my love." Today, our prayer team will be at the back as we take the communion, as we take the cup, as we take the juice. If you want prayer this morning for anything, go to them. You don't have to say what it is, just say, "I want you to pray for me." If you want to be specific, can do. But this morning, if you've come off that track and not followed wisdom and you've not listened with all your heart, then I believe God wants you to go and just say to somebody, "Can you pray for me to listen? Can you pray for me to act on it? Can you pray for me to live my life and to make decisions that are fitting of wisdom of God?" Father God, I pray for each one here, and as you stir in hearts now, I pray, Lord, that you will move people to respond to your word. Move people to say, "Yes, I've had enough of just letting it go in one ear and out the other. I want it to be in my heart. I can start again today." Father God, I pray, Lord, that there will be rebirth all over this place. I pray, Lord, that there will be renewal of lives all over this place. And as a result of them passing it on, there'll be renewal of life all over this town and then over this country. Father, let us not be in a minority. Let us see and show that Jesus is King.